Fitter, Happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. Our heart is the engine for our body. It beats 100,000 times a day and pumps blood through the body, providing it with the oxygen and nutrients it needs to function. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle is crucial for taking care of our heart health and preventing heart disease. Heart disease continues to be one of Australia's leading single causes of death, killing one Australian every 28 minutes. Joining us this morning to discuss recent developments within the cardiology space is Dr. John Spiro, consultant cardiologist from Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome, John. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry about the little intermission earlier on. We hope you're on the line.
Yes, I hope that you can hear me. Thank you very much.
Can definitely hear you. Thanks for getting through all good. I have a first question to ask you. So you've been in the cardiology sector for over 15 years. Can you tell us more about your work and how you ended up in this field?
Yeah, absolutely. So I trained in the UK, you might be able to tell from my accent, and I moved to Perth around 8 years ago and took up my post at the moment as an interventional cardiologist at Royal Perth. And I guess really I was drawn to cardiology during my training. As a junior doctor, I was struck by how common heart disease was. And despite all of the recent advances and just how common it is, it remains the biggest killer. And as a doctor in cardiology, as well as in lots of other areas of medicine, we can actually make a real difference to patients, in particular saving lives when people come in with heart attacks, or at least limiting the heart muscle damage and improve patient symptoms significantly. And I guess the final thing was it's a very evidence-based medical specialty which satisfies, research interest and allows opportunity for everyone to contribute to advancing our knowledge in the area.
So definitely a sector that provides a lot of research. And like you were saying, our heart is one of the most important organs in our body. So it's an amazing sort of sector to sort of get involved in. I want to know exactly what is heart disease and is it the same as a heart attack?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So, in medicine, we like our jargon and our acronyms, and this is an example of that. So heart disease and heart attacks are different, but of course they are linked. So heart disease is a broad term, really, for any conditions that can affect the structure and the function of your heart. So, for example, it includes all other problems like coronary artery disease, which I'll talk about in a second, valve problems or heart rhythm disturbance, or even if you have a weakness of the pumping part of your heart. They would all come under the sort of umbrella term of heart disease. Heart attack is actually a specific diagnosis or specific condition that relates to a problem with the blood flow in your heart arteries, and these are called coronary arteries. And it occurs either when there's a blockage or a threatened blockage. And this is one of the most dangerous conditions within heart disease, and is probably the reason why so many people still die, unfortunately, of heart disease.
So when somebody may be suffering from a heart attack and is admitted into hospital, what happens next?
Yeah, so when someone comes into hospital, it really depends on what sort of heart attack they're having. So patients often get symptoms like chest pain and tightness in their chest or breathlessness. They can feel sick or vomit, and they can look unwell. They look pale and clammy and maybe can be vomiting. They can also look frightened and anxious and sometimes even collapsed or passed out. And if this occurs, it's very, very important, obviously, to get medical attention to them. And by far and away, the best way and really the only way is to dial 000. And we're very lucky in WA to have St John Ambulance, who provide an excellent service assessing patients even before they get to hospital. So they can detect the biggest type of heart attack, which is caused by a complete blockage of an artery. And there, the management really is getting the artery open. And that's a time-critical condition because every minute that goes past, a little bit more of heart muscle is dying. So St John Ambulance, together with the hospitals, will activate us because often we're at home. So we come in from home to set up a heart attack team to take the person to a mini operating theatre to open up the artery, do a procedure where we normally put a stent in there to open the artery. That's the major type of heart attack. Of course, WA is vast, and there's often locations that people can have heart attacks where you can't get to a hospital. And in that situation, doctors and nurses can give clot-busting medications when they arrive at hospital. That's called thrombolysis, and that tries to open up the artery using a chemical, a little bit like a sort of blood-clotting chemical to open up the artery. Other types of heart attacks can be less sort of less of an emergency where the artery is trying to block off, but it hasn't quite done it. So these can be patients that have pain and symptoms that are coming and going a bit, and they get admitted to hospital, and they usually have a test on their heart the following day, which is where we put a tube up and do the angiogram, which is taking pictures of the heart arteries to see what's going on and work out what treatment is to be given then. As I say, it's either a stent, maybe, if there's a blockage or an area where the artery is injured or blocked, or even in the worst case scenario, if there's a lot of disease, then bypass surgery, so open chest surgery to bypass the arteries, or occasionally just leaving things with just tablet medication alone. Those are the sort of three treatment options that people get.
Sounds like a very sort of intricate kind of procedure to sort of look at the heart. And as you were saying, there is sort of different types of procedures that can happen as well, whether it's operating on someone who's experiencing a heart attack or just looking at the heart and through the arteries as well, I think you were just talking about, which is why I want to speak about chest pain. It's a common sign associated with heart attacks, but may not necessarily mean you may be having a heart attack itself. How do clinicians determine the difference?
Yeah, again, this is a really good question because, of course, chest pain is very common, and the vast majority of chest pain doesn't necessarily turn out to be anything to do with your heart. Having said that, though, of course, we have to be cautious that chest pain can be a sign of a heart attack. So if you're experiencing chest pain, you must get that checked out. But, of course, doctors and nurses in the hospital have a lot at their disposal. They'll take a history, so talk to the patient and find out what the symptoms are like and when they're coming and what they feel like and how the patient feels, really, when they're having the symptoms. They'll examine the patient to see if there are any signs of heart disease, so murmurs when you listen to the heart and listening to the lungs, things like that. They'll do a heart tracing called an ECG, and they'll also do blood tests. And the blood test is very important because that's been really one of the large areas of research interest and development over recent years. And we now have very sensitive blood tests that can detect really sort of minuscule amounts of heart muscle damage. So the reason that's important is that if the blood test is negative, then the doctors and nurses can be very reassured and most likely send you home having excluded a heart attack. Of course, if they're worried about you or they're worried about your risk factors or they're worried about the history the patient gives, then they would obviously recommend further review with the GP or even referring on to a chest pain clinic at a hospital such as the one we run at Royal Perth.
It's amazing how far technology has come to sort of be able to determine the difference between chest pain and associated heart attacks as well. Just listening to you, I had no sort of prior knowledge about all of this, so it's super interesting. John, you're also active in cardiology research. Are there any new developments in this space?
Yeah, I mean, there's always developments happening, especially in cardiovascular medicine. It's probably one of the most researched areas because of the need to help improve the outcomes of our patients and also try to improve even the onset of disease. It's amazing to think that actually up to about 80 or 90% of heart disease or heart attacks are actually preventable by identifying risk factors and modifying lifestyle and having review with medical teams to help with that. The research department at Royal Perth is very, very active. So we have academic cardiologists here who are affiliated to the University of Western Australia. We've got 5 research nurses here who are excellent, and we're currently actively recruiting into 15 studies, but we actually have probably up to about 30 studies if we include all of those that are just in follow-up phase. A couple of new things. I was awarded a Department of Health research grant about 6 years ago to set up WA's first chest pain clinic, so a rapid access chest pain clinic. And the idea of this is doctors, either GP or emergency teams, can refer patients to the clinic and they're seen within a week. So this helps to offload emergency departments. It helps, obviously, with the congestion that we're currently experiencing in the emergency departments. And it allows that safety net, really, of patients to go home with confidence that we're going to see them within a week. And they're seen by a specialist nurse, and then we have testing, if needed, within the next week. And the research built into that clinic is looking at which tests might be best for which patients. And so far, we've had over 3,000 referrals for that clinic. And the second thing that I'm very interested in is actually developing how we look at angiograms. So when we actually take the pictures of the heart arteries, we obviously can identify patients who need stenting and bypass because of the pictures that we see. But amazingly, the pictures that we take of the heart arteries only show about 10% of the whole amount of blood vessels that are in the heart. And the other 90% we can't actually see because the resolution's just not good enough on our angiograms. So we've established a service here where we have a couple of additional tests that help us to assess the function of the artery. So looking for things like spasm, when the arteries kind of shut down on themselves, and also assessing the function of those very small vessels that we can't see. And we were very excited last month or 2 months ago now to help a research study from Sydney, which is looking at the microcirculation in patients having the most serious types of heart attack to try and develop new treatment strategies for these patients. So we're very active in this area and we've got a lot of exciting things on the horizon.
Oh my God, amazing. There was so much that you said there with you said you received a grant to embellish your idea about, was it new sort of, how to
pain clinic?
Yes, that I have no idea about sort of all the research that's involved with learning about our heart, which is, as we've said before, a very important organ within our body. It's common to usually associate heart disease with older adults. As someone who is in their early 20s myself, is it too early to start thinking about my heart health?
No, is the answer. Absolutely not. So there's some quite staggering statistics. So in Australia, 90% of adults have one risk factor for heart disease. And believe it or not, 60% of adults have three or more risk factors for heart disease. And actually, people probably don't even know that they have these risk factors. So the first thing to do, whatever age you are, is to identify what your risk factors are. And a lot of these are common sense, but if you don't sit down and think about it, you often miss them. So for example, risk factors are split into those that you can modify and those that you can't. And of the modifiable risk factors, things like having a poor diet, physical inactivity, cigarette smoking or vaping, drinking too much alcohol and not maintaining a healthy weight are the sort of things that really sort of sitting down and having a look at are within your power to control. There are the medical conditions, so if you're diabetic, if you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, these are worth obviously screening for and picking them up. I mean, things like high cholesterol and high blood pressure, patients don't have symptoms, so you don't know that you've got it unless you go along to your GP and have these measured. And then, of course, there's the unmodifiable things, the things that we're born with. So a family history, for example, if you've got a first-degree relative, so a mother, father, brother or a sister who's had a heart attack or heart disease under the age of 60, then you have a positive family history. And also your ethnicity. So if you come from South Asia or the Middle East, or if you identify as an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people, then your risk is significantly increased. And in fact, amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, they have a high burden of heart disease, and their risk is about twice as high as other populations. And concerningly, their onset of symptoms is about 10 to 20 years earlier than for white Australians.
Well,
so the first thing to say is I try and identify your risk factors and get yourself screened.
So there's a lot of risk factors concerning, as you were saying, your ethnicity as well. It is dependent from where you come from ethnically as well. And as you were saying, being a young person, I have to start, you know, sort of taking care of myself now. So I'll for the longevity of my future in terms of, as you were saying, alcohol, cigarette smoking and vaping, which is something that's trending at the moment within my demographic as well. So, John, lastly, where can people go for further information?
Yeah, so there's some great resources out there. So there's websites, and in particular, the Healthy WA website has links you can follow, and also the Heart Foundation website, which I look at a lot myself and direct patients to, is really a fantastic interactive website with lots of videos and lots of links to follow. But ultimately, your GP, you know, your GP is very well placed to talk to you about symptoms, to risk stratify you and to look at things. And the Heart Foundation would certainly recommend that if you're age 45 or older, or if you're 30, if you're an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person, then 30 or 35, you know, go along to your GP, ask for a heart health check. And GPs are very, very keen and very, very interested in screening people that they look after, because ultimately a lot of this is preventable.
There you go. So there's the Healthy WA website, listeners, healthywa.wa.gov.au. And as you said, John, go check out the Heart Foundation website or your local GP as well. Thank you so much for chatting with us, John. Appreciate your time here on The Record. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have learned heaps as well.
Thanks very much for having me.
That was John Spiro, consultant cardiologist at Royal Perth Hospital, chatting with us all about maintaining a healthy lifestyle for taking care of our heart health, preventing heart disease, and recent developments within the cardiology space. And as we just said before, for more information, check out the Healthy WA website, Heart Foundation website, or go visit your local GP for more info.